everybody. Welcome to the Hunter's Quest podcast. This is your host, Hunter McWaters. Great to be with you. Today, I have a great conversation with the host of the Knock Performance podcast, Tyler Geiger. Tyler's an awesome dude. He's a fitness coach, hunter, and podcaster. I was actually a guest on his podcast a while back, episode 104, and decided to have Tyler on my show and get into things a little bit. We talk about fitness and motivation and hunting and nutrition, a little bit, all that stuff. And it's just a really good conversation. Hope it motivates you guys. I know a lot of folks, as we head into the new year, are looking to step up their fitness. So hopefully this is a little bit of motivation and just encouragement that it's worth it. Your health and your fitness is worth it, not only to be a better hunter, but just a better human and a better father and husband and all that good stuff. So enjoy this podcast, guys. Be on the lookout. I have a new film dropping soon on my YouTube channel. It's a really cool free-range Audad hunt in Southwest Texas that I did last year with Luke Dusenberry. I'm about to actually go and do this hunt again. It was so cool in a few weeks. But right after Christmas, I'm going to release that. So hopefully when you're sitting around the fire with your family and friends, and maybe some of you are looking forward to a hunt down in the desert this winter, you can give it a look, and I hope you guys enjoy it. It ended in a very dramatic fashion. So go to my YouTube channel. Please subscribe if you can. Leave me a rating and a review on this podcast. That's very helpful. And we'll see you on the next one. Enjoy this podcast with Tyler. Take it easy, guys, and Merry Christmas. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is your host, Hunter McWaters. Good to be with you guys, as always. And today I'm joined by Mr. Knock Performance, Tyler Geiger. How you doing, dude?
I'm blessed, bro. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. It's good to talk to you again. We did a podcast, man, probably like a year ago or so on your podcast.
I think at least that. Yeah, I should have. If I was prepared, I would have had that date lined up. But yeah, it's been at least that.
Let's see. Episode 104. I don't see a date on here. Oh, wait. September 19th, 2023. So.
Yeah, dog. Yup.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. So how you been doing? I see you've had some really cool guests on lately and stuff. So yeah, how's stuff going?
Stuff's going great, man. What's that? I've been seeing this quote. It's like, how did they describe it? Don't complain about having too much on your plate when your goal was to eat. Have you seen that one floating around?
I haven't, but I like it.
I like it too. That's kind of where I'm at. I got a lot on my plate. I'm just making sure to stay grateful for everything that God has been giving me. And I'm just, you know, doing the best with the opportunities that are given. And I think a lot of people would really be lying to themselves if they didn't wish or want to be in a position that I'm in. So I just don't take that lightly. And I try to make the most out of the opportunities that I've been given. So to answer your question, man, really, really busy, but happy to be busy.
Yeah, same, man. We were just talking about the holidays coming up and shutting down and stuff like that. And I hate to say it, but like, man, I've been going through this. I've been struggling lately because, you know, I go on all these cool adventures and then I come home. And don't get me wrong, love my family, love my kids and all that. But like literally after about 3 weeks, the routine and like just being a dad and doing the office thing, like it just starts to just grind on me, dude. And I just can't wait to get back out. And like I've been really struggling the last couple of days. Like, okay, get up, get the kids ready for school, drive to school, go to the gym, do the stuff. You know what I mean? Like it's just yeah. Rough, man.
Yeah, I've dealt with that in the past. Maybe not so much kind of at the beginning of this off season. I call it an off season, right? But when my last tag was punched, I was like pretty stoked about it. I was like, finally, I was just worn down, dude. Like,
yeah.
And you know, you do feel some pressure having like somewhat of an online presence. Like obviously you have a freaking show, which is huge. And obviously, you know, punching tags is important, right? And I feel that a little bit sometimes too. So if I can fill a tag, I'm like, thank you, God. But then when it's over, I'm like, oh, okay, now I can just train, be a good husband, focus on business stuff. I'm about to be a dad next year, so I'm looking forward to kind of next chapters in my life. And I love hunting, but it's not everything to me.
Yeah, no, for sure, man. And it's not even like, I think it's just, I've always been, even when I was not in the hunting space, I was in a job where I traveled a lot doing, I was doing videography and producing, just not in the hunting space. And just even before that, like, it's just my personality. Like, I just get real bored of routine real quick and like need to get out and do stuff and change it up. And now it just seems like the, for whatever reason, the like periods between are getting shorter of like how long it takes me to get bored. And I know that's not like I'm complaining. I'm not like, I know I'm super blessed, but I just been struggling with it. I'm trying to figure out how to work through it. It might be because my last hunt got finished on day one, so I didn't get kicked in the teeth enough. I don't know.
Yeah, and same thing with me. My last hunt took me way longer than I thought it was going to take me. So I was getting to the point where I was like, this is getting personal and I need to freaking finish this thing. You know what I mean? And then when it was done, I was like, finally, tag punch, done.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Cool, man.
I understand what you're saying. We're kind of on the opposite scale, but I've been where you're at before.
Yeah, and I've been where you're at too. Like I remember last year after finishing my Montana hunt, I believe it was, maybe that was 2 years ago. I can't remember, but just being like, oh, okay, whew, I'm done. Holidays, chill, you know. And then it's, you know, for me, it's on to the next hunt, which is like finding new partners, closing contracts and stuff like that. And that's fun too, but there's a lot of waiting involved, which I hate. But anyway, you said your plate was really full, man, and got good stuff going on. So, like, what's it full of, man? What you working on? What you doing?
Coaching, man. That's like my main thing. That's what I do full time, and I don't know if it's appropriate to share how many guys that I coach, but I coach a lot, and it's a lot, man.
How
Everybody
many?
deserves the same. I can't tell you. Everybody deserves the same amount of attention as the next guy, and I'm a
Yeah.
big under promise, over deliver. Like I take the fact that these guys trust me with their goals. They invest their hard earned money into what it is that we do, and I take that really freaking serious. So. I mean, we dive pretty deep. Everybody, like, if someone were to call me right now, I'd say, hey, give me 50 minutes. Me and Hunter are doing a podcast. I'll call you right back. So the access to me is pretty much unlimited. And that, in turn, equals a pretty darn full plate. So
That's cool,
it's
man.
fun, though, man. It's fun. I love helping these guys.
Yeah, it must be, you know, that's something I hope to do through my platforms and stuff is help and inspire people to change. But you're really on like the rubber meets the road part of it, like really actually help. And that must be really rewarding to see that and help people like that.
Yeah, man. I mean, I've had guys come to me that are like, yo, I'm looking to lose 80 to 100 pounds. It's like, and you want to do this with me? Like, I'm just humbled. It's like, it's
Yeah.
so humbling that people are like, well, yeah. I'm like, how much does it cost? X, Y, and Z. And they're like, I get all this. And I'm like, yeah, but this isn't going to be like no, 6 week ordeal. This is not going to be a walk in the park.
Yeah.
You are going to struggle. I'm going to yell at you when you need yelled at. I'm going to pat you on the butt when you're doing a great job. Like, this is going to be as easy as it is to gain it. It is so much harder to lose it,
Oh yeah.
man. So much harder. And
Yeah,
these guys
just
are figuring that out, man.
Go to the gym and cycle 30 calories and then eat 30 calories and see what the difference looks
Bro.
like.
I was actually on a spin bike this morning for the first time in a long time. Dude, it took me like 45 minutes to burn like 300 calories. I'm like, this is miserable. Like,
Yeah.
I'd rather do the stairs and I could burn that amount of calories in like 20 minutes, but it's just so mundane and routine. I'm like,
Yeah.
ugh. But
The
you're so
mental
right
thing
about
is.
the eating thing, though. You're so right about
Dude,
that.
one mouthful is like
Bro.
10 minutes on a freaking assault bike.
Yep.
Yeah,
Yep.
man.
You're
So
exactly
yeah,
right.
I know what that's like. I know that struggle is like because I lost 80 pounds. I think we probably talked about it on
Yeah,
your
you did.
podcast.
I
Yeah.
yeah, yep.
And I mean, it took me, it wasn't like a straight shot. It probably took me 2 years, all said and done, to really get to where I wanted to be. And it, yeah, it takes just discipline, hard work, lots of time and tracking your food. And yeah, it's not, I know it sounds so cliche and corny, like, oh, it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle change. But really, you have to change your life. I mean, my life now looks so much different than what it did, and that's the only way you're gonna be able to sustain it long enough if you really want to put it. And I'm not saying like you can't do it quicker, but it is not a quick program of, hey, let's go burn 75 pounds off me. No, that's a legit commitment.
Yeah, and that's what I tell everybody when I get on these calls. It's like, dude, I'm not your normal fitness influencer. I hate that word, by the way, but like, I'm not the guy with his shirt off being like, hey, work with me, you'll get abs in, 3 weeks. No, no. If you come to me with 50 plus pounds that you need to lose, like, bro, double it. We need to work for at least a year. Come on. Like, this is what, because we don't do anything quick. We do it smart. We do it smart and we turn it into, like you said, a lifestyle. It's not just about eating ribeyes and, hitting the bench press over here. It's way more than that. And that's what I try to teach these guys, and they're all crushing it, man. I'm so proud that, it's like anything though, man. The more you do it, the more results you're gonna see, the more excited you're gonna get, the more you're gonna want to continue the journey. Like in your case, 80 pounds, that's nothing to joke about. That's an incredible accomplishment. But you're to the point now where you're like, dude, I'm not going back there. You
No.
couldn't pay me to go back there because you know how hard it was to get back down to what what I'm looking at right now, which is a guy that's in good shape.
Man, it's honestly, like, to the point of where like I might be slightly imbalanced the other way now. Like, I've been actually doing pretty good this off season of like not being too like hard on myself as far as like being super lean. Like I'm probably riding like 5 6 pounds heavier than I was this summer, but like still in good shape, like I'm fine with it. There was a time where it's like after you're like living that lifestyle of literally being in caloric deficit every day for years, checking, like jumping on the scale every day for years, like it can be hard to like shift over to maintenance. So that's something I've had to deal with a little bit, but I've been doing pretty good on it. But yeah, like it's like once you've been obese, because I was studying obese, and then like you get to a point where you're like you can see your abs, it's like you never want to lose those abs again.
Yeah, I'm with you, dude. I love a maintenance stage, like more than anything. But right now I'm trying to cut down, and I'm not cut down like a lot, but like just a tiny bit. And I'm super strict with my diet right now because I got something next month that I kind of want to look good for. It sucks.
What
It's
are
not
you? Are you gonna be on a
fun.
TV show or something? What are you doing?
Nah, I'll tell you off air.
Okay. What was I gonna say? Let's back up a little bit. I want to hear just a little about you, man. I don't really know anything about you. Like, tell me your story, dude.
All right, on the spot. So I'm originally from Michigan, so Midwest dude, and went down to Nashville to be the police for 3 years.
Okay.
And then I moved out to Montana in 21, continued being the police for 2 more years, so a total of five.
How do you like law enforcement?
How did I like it?
Yeah.
I liked it for the first 3 years. It was a lot of fun.
Okay.
And it kind of taught me, how the world works, if that makes sense. It taught you how to be a man. It taught you how to be a leader. Made you realize that not everything's sunshine and roses. Kind of going back to how the conversation started.
Yeah.
A lot of people I dealt with, man, would kill for a lifestyle that you and I live, and they just don't have that. A lot of people
Yeah.
come from nothing. A lot of people have nothing. A lot of people don't have parents. A lot of people don't have a roof. Nothing. No food. Not dick, dude. So, it's very eye-opening, and no matter how bad you think you got it, dude, somebody's got it
Oh,
worse
for sure.
without question. And you
Was
deal
it,
with those people. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, was it hard? So I actually, when I straightened my life out, I thought about going into law enforcement. I even went through like physical testing and like, was like close to joining. I didn't. I think part of that was because I hate confrontation, to be honest. And the other one's
Yeah.
just like, I mean, I wanted to go the direction where I went, which is what I'm doing now. But the other thing I feel like would be really tough about law enforcement, and I hats off to those guys, is just like, just dealing with, all that negativity, and like, mental illness and even like demonic influence and just like you're saying, the worst of the worst. And a lot of people, you know, it's not necessarily their fault, some of the situations they're in, but just the worst parts of society and just having to deal with that on a daily basis. Did you have trouble kind of staying above that, or did it influence you in any way negatively, or how'd you deal with that?
It's funny you say that you didn't like confrontation. I love confrontation. So that was like a part of the job that I really did enjoy. Obviously, I was hoping for none, but with the job comes a lot of confrontation. So I'm pretty good with that. But to answer your question, I was always pretty darn good about leaving work at work and not bringing it home. I'm way worse at it now, though. Like I've gotten worse now that I'm a business owner. It's like I guess I have more skin in the game now, if that makes sense. But yeah, man, it's hard, especially because a lot of guys that are doing the job aren't necessarily pumped that they're doing the job, even though that's a career that they chose. It's a really, really easy field to bitch and moan and complain about. So easy. Because like you're not like if you call, dude, you're not gonna call me because you're having a great day. You're having one of the worst days of your life, which is why you're calling the police.
For sure.
And that can easily rub off on me. And then once we settle your situation, now I got to go deal with somebody else, and what I just dealt with doesn't matter anymore. So you got to be able to flip that switch. Like you essentially have to be perfect all the time. And that's just not reality. It's not, dude. And you can get caught up in that, and you can get caught up in the bitching and the complaining and, the terrible stuff that you see. It's easy to weigh on you. But overall, I feel like I did a pretty darn good job of leaving that in the car or at work. And for whatever reason, like I said, I've gotten progressively worse at it.
Yeah, it's tough when you, like you said, when you have your own business. I think, like you said, you got more skin in the game too. I mean, I think, when you're dealing with that stuff, it's external forces, like other people you're dealing with, and also like it's stuff that you want to leave at work. Whereas, like, I'm assuming you're kind of like me, where you probably are really amped up by the work you do and enjoy it and get charged up from it. So, like, you have to like force yourself to step away, or just like I said, it's more difficult to step away from it. Like I get, yeah, like I like get not in trouble, but like, my wife will be like, I'm tempted to work when I shouldn't be working. Not like I can't wait to slap, close the laptop shut till Monday kind of deal. It's like I'll wake up at 5 a.m. on Saturday 'cause I want to get some editing done, and I'll like enjoy it. You know what I mean? So definitely different, but okay. Anyway, that was kind of an aside. So continue on your story. So you're on the police force. That's where we left off.
Yeah, so during COVID, like anybody from my wife's from Ohio, but we were living in Nashville at the time. And but like anybody from the Midwest, we had a vacation plan to Florida. Because that's what Midwest people do. They go to Florida for vacations. And long story short, COVID came around and, everything in Florida was closed. All the restaurants we planned on going to, everything that we had planned, we're calling. They're like, dude, this is nothing. Like, you're just going to go come here and sit in an Airbnb. And we're like, well, screw that. So we waited a couple months. We trashed the plans. I was like, let's go somewhere random. My wife's just like, well, where do you want to go? I was like, let's go to Montana. She's like, what's in Montana? I was like, I don't know. I heard it's pretty there. Deep down, knowing that I knew exactly what we were going for. Like, I knew exactly. I had a plan.
What,
So
you
we
wanted to move
go.
there?
Hell yeah. I wanted to hunt. I've always wanted to Western hunt, bro. And I just played dumb. I was like, I just heard it's really pretty.
You a
So we
hunter
go out.
already?
Yeah. I mean, but like tree stand hunter, like just
Yeah.
shooting whitetails and stuff, right?
Same.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, we make this trip happen. A couple months later, we go spend a week or 10 days and like around Bozeman, and we loved it, dude. We got on the plane after, the trip was over, and we're looking at each other and we're like kind of depressed that we're going back to Nashville. And Nashville's great. It's a great town. Not the best place to work if you're law enforcement, but neither here nor there. We were kind of half depressed, and I looked at her. I was like, we should move here. And my wife goes, we should move here. And then I think
Bingo.
in 6 or 7 months after that plane ride, we were driving from Nashville to Montana with all our shit.
Nice.
Yo.
Did you
Yep.
have like a transfer into a police force there, or were you going completely stepping out and nothing?
Yeah, we did. I ended up getting a job where I live now in Eastern Montana to be the police there, and probably should have done a little bit more recon, kind of picked a not so great department to work for, but neither here nor there. I'm glad it worked out how it worked out, because if I wouldn't have had such a negative experience at that job, I probably wouldn't be on this podcast with you, or doing what I do now. So it all worked out good, man. Like, when God's given me a lot of signs over the past few years, and I'm actually starting to listen and pay attention. And it's hard to describe, man. I know you're a man of faith and stuff, and I've really tapped into mine over the past few years, and I'm just so grateful for the opportunities I've been given, and I'm just happy and proud of myself for listening and taking action on the little signs that I've been given. So
That's the thing about when God speaks, like it's like almost imperceptible, very easy to ignore, like that little whisper. But when you learn and choose to follow those whispers, good stuff happens.
Without question, man. And it's hard to describe, at least for me. It's like when people from where I'm from are like, "So what's elk hunting like?" It's like, I can't really describe that to you. Like, you just need to come with me. Like, just come hunt for 5 to 7 days and hear a bugle 20 yards away. Like, then you'll know what I'm talking about. So it's hard for me. I kind of compare the two, even though they're not really similar, but I struggle with being like, why is this happening to me? Why am I the guy that is getting blessed right now? So I'm not complaining about it. I'm, like I said, super thankful, but it's also really, really humbling at the same time.
Yeah, okay. All right, so then yeah, walk me through leaving law enforcement and then transitioning to what you're doing now, and then just tell me, tell me that.
Yeah, so basically, man, I typed up a letter of resignation and kind of was like, yo, here's my 2 weeks type of deal, and turned it into who it needed to be turned into. And they're like, okay, that's unfortunate. Today's your last day. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I was going to give you 2 weeks and just, kind of be a professional about it. They're like, nah, you're good. Go drop your car off. You're straight. And I was like, fuck, all right. So sorry, I don't know if I can curse on here, bro, but
That's all right.
I was like, all right. So yeah, I dropped my car off, and they're like, yeah, meet us at this date and turn all your stuff in. And it's like, okay.
Or do they just not want
And
like guys like
I thought,
with
I think they were
senioritis
thinking,
kind of deal?
yeah, I think that they were under the impression that I'd kind of be half in, half out with it,
Yeah.
which was honestly probably one of the only good moves that I've ever seen the department make, because they were totally right. Like, I was just gonna dog it, honestly. Like, I was just gonna dog the rest of the 2 weeks, or call in sick, or do whatever I needed to do, because I was not in the game, if that makes
Yeah.
any sense. And I knew what I wanted to do. I knew that I wanted to start coaching guys for real. I've been coaching people on the side, like friends and family, like any, business startup, right? Just getting your feet wet. And health and fitness has been a part of my life for longer than it hasn't been. I don't have like a sweet, like, I lost 100 pounds story, or, I don't have that. I've always been extremely dialed since high school. So sometimes it's a little bit tougher to relate, but at the same time, I've been living this life for longer than I haven't been. And that's just my story. I can't change that. I've just always taken really good care of myself, and I've had some great mentors. With all that being said, starting something that you don't know is if it's going to work or not is extremely scary.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because you don't have a guaranteed paycheck. You don't have insurance anymore. You don't have the stability. It's up to you, and it's up to you only. And I'd be lying to you if I told you that the first, 6 months to a year wasn't a roller coaster.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to sell anything. I didn't know how to market myself. I didn't know how to approach people. I took a couple business classes that were beneficial to me, but other than that, man, I was just shooting for the stars, just throwing crap at a wall and hoping that something would stick.
Yeah.
Over the past year, it has, but it wasn't like that initially at all. It's not like I just blew up and started, being able to pay my bills right away. It wasn't like that.
Yeah. What are some of the biggest lessons you learned through that process and how to get clients and stuff?
It's a great question. I guess I'm still trying to figure it out, man.
Does it just take
I
time of
know.
just grinding and just word of mouth and
Yeah, that's definitely a big thing, word of mouth. And I'm big, like I touched on earlier, is I underpromise a lot, but I always over deliver. Like, I want this to be the best investment that you're ever gonna make. Like, I understand how hard it is to front this amount of money on a whim with somebody that you don't know. But what's really worked for me, dude, is like, I'm not an internet personality. Like, if you were to walk in here right now, I'd be talking to you the same way. If I were to run into you at a gas station, I'd be talking to you the same way. I'm just me, and that's really worked for me. Some people love me, other people don't. Like, I know that I'm not for everybody, but I'm not gonna change who I am to make a dollar. If people vibe with me and how I approach things, fantastic. We're a great fit. If not, that is A-okay, and I'll lead you somewhere that I think, somebody can help you that's better than me. So I'm just myself. Like, that's been a huge thing for me. I haven't altered who I am and what I believe in and what I stand on for a dollar, if that makes sense.
For sure. And then like how does the podcast work into that? Is that, do you see that as a platform for kind of getting more business or something you just kind of do for fun, or how does that kind of factor into the equation?
The podcast brings me a lot of business. I'd be lying to you if I told you that it didn't. It's one of the main ways that people find my stuff and find out who I am, right? If you can every now and then hit a home run with somebody like, let's call it Cam Haynes, that was not bad for business. Like, that just is what it is, right? Like, that was a lot of eyes on my platform. So yeah, but at the same time, I'm a student. I'm picking somebody to have on my show because I want to learn from them. I want to help people that listen to it. But like, when I had you on my show, I wanted to learn from you, right? Like, I'm not huge on they have this amount of followers or this or that, or they're popular, or they were on Joe Rogan. I've had a ton of people that have been on Joe Rogan on my show. Who cares? But like, it is a good way to get eyes on what I'm doing. So it does bring in business for sure. And I just love it. Like, I love doing this. I have so much fun just picking people's brains. And a lot of my guys that I work with, I serve as kind of a mentor to them. They're like, "Who mentors you?" I'm like, "Well, I talk to people every day that I consider like, especially guys in my field. It's like, I want to be like them. I want to do what they're doing at a bigger scale." So I listen and they give me advice. And, guys like Kip Fulks, dude, he talked to me for almost an hour off air after the podcast,
Oh,
giving me
cool.
business advice. Like, are you
Nice.
kidding me? Like, you can't put a dollar on that. Like, that, it was just so cool. So getting to talk to people that have kind of been or are where you're looking to go, is what I've tried to do.
For sure, man. Like, that's so big. Like, even just like the networking side, like you said, and like, that's been one of the biggest things for me with the podcast too, is just, it's just networking, like getting to know folks, sitting down, having a reason to have an hour-long conversation, because a lot of guys are super busy. You might not be able to just say, "Hey, can I talk to you on the phone for an hour?" But if you say, "Hey, can I have you on my podcast?" It's a little different, and like, you might get some more yeses than you might otherwise get. And it's been huge for me. And I, like, my wife is starting a business, doing real estate, and that's one of the things I've been like trying to help her with. Is like, hey, just like, and I think a lot of times, maybe pride gets in the way, or maybe it's just uncomfortable. But like, hey, even if you don't like necessarily think this person can like directly help you, just like take them out for coffee, ask their advice, or like, have a phone call with them. Like, something positive will come out of it. Even if this is just like, you know that person now, or maybe it could be anything, but like, nothing bad is going to come from having a conversation with someone, typically. Like, so yeah, and that applies to like any type of business or any kind of anything. Just like you said, have conversations with people that are doing what you want to do in your space. Like, it's going to have a positive influence somehow.
Yeah, and I always make it very, very obvious when I approach somebody to come on the show. I do not want anything from you. The only thing I want from you is an hour to 2 hours of your time. And if that ends up getting a lot of eyes on our conversation, great. If it doesn't, I talk to a lot of people that I've had on my show pretty regularly. Like, this isn't like a transaction of being like, hey, thanks for coming on the pod. I stole your audience and now I get all these clients. No, I mean, does that happen sometimes? Yeah, and that's great. But like, I don't want shit from anybody. Like,
Yeah.
working with, I train Adam Granda. A lot of people know who that is.
Oh, cool.
Dude, our relationship is hilarious.
He
Like,
seems like a character.
it's hilarious because we just trade money. That's all it is. We just trade favors. Like, does he pay me? Yes, but it was his birthday the other day, and I sent him how much he pays me a month to him as a birthday gift to go eat at this fancy restaurant. He's like, did I pay that invoice? I was like, dude, I don't know. I just sent it back to you. Go take your wife on a date. Like, I don't want nothing from him besides what he gives me, which is a friendship, dude. Like, I wouldn't be remotely close to where I'm at, like business-wise, without a lot of his advice. He helps me tremendously. And I don't ask him for anything. He doesn't ask me for anything, but we take care of each other because we see ourselves in one another. And he'll probably hear this and be like, wow, that's so, I won't use what he would say, but you get what I'm saying. But
Yeah.
like, it's not transactional, man. We take care of each other because we're friends, and
Yeah.
that's what it is.
That's awesome, man. What do you think is like, you've trained a lot of people, so, a lot of people just see their own kind of challenges and that's all they know. Like, what do you think is the some of the biggest challenges you see getting in guys' way of changing their lives?
Guys will negotiate with themselves that they
Yeah.
don't have enough time. It's always time, bro. It's always time. All of it. That and sleep. Oh, I didn't get enough sleep, man. I'm tired. Dog, me neither.
Yeah.
But I was still in there this morning doing what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
Guys will negotiate with themselves big time, bro. Oh man, I had a hard day at work. Oh man, it's like, dude, you don't even have any kids yet.
Yeah.
Like, Grenda's got seven kids and a wife, and he's still grinding. So don't give me that you don't have time. Yeah, you didn't get
Yep.
to bed till midnight and you got to be to work at 6. Get up at 4 and then go to bed early the next day. Go to bed at 8. It's always time, man. Guys negotiate with themselves that they don't have enough time. And
Yep.
I always use it's like, dude, I'm working 12, 14, 16-hour days and I'm still doing what I'm supposed to do in the gym, taking care of myself and eating right because I
Yeah.
care. It's important to me. It's like I use this example a lot with guys, right? Where it needs to become so a part of your life that you don't even think about it. Hunter,
Yes.
what's the first thing you do when you wake up? Probably take a piss. If you like coffee, probably pour yourself a coffee. Shortly after that, you'll sit down in the restroom and do your business. And you don't think about either three of those things because it's something that you do every single
Yep.
day. Okay? The
Yep.
gym needs to be like that as well.
100%.
Don't even
Yep.
think about it. Eating that healthy lunch or that healthy dinner needs to be like that. You don't even think about it. Oh man, I had a long day. I don't have no time. I'm just gonna slide into Wendy's real quick. No, that is not an option. Then don't eat. Then just don't eat. So it's just turning it into, like we touched on earlier, that lifestyle. And you do have enough time. Hunter and I have the same amount of time as you, and we're doing it. All these people are so busy and they're doing it. But they negotiate. Once they stop negotiating with themselves, they realize that, oh, I do have time for this.
Yeah.
Even if it's only 30 minutes. 30 minutes is 2% of your day, I think.
Dude, you can literally go in and do a 5-minute assault bike sprint and crush yourself in 5 minutes.
That's it.
Like, seriously.
That's it.
Like, you
Do
can
10 sets
literally.
of 10 for burpees, bro. That's
Yeah.
all you need. That's
Yeah.
200 calories right there. Go
Yep.
for it.
Yeah. Like, that's. Sometimes we do these workouts at the gym where it's like, 5, 7 minute AMRAP and you're just dead after. I'm like, how can anyone say they don't have time? Like, you can literally crush yourself in 5 minutes. And so, yeah, but I get that, man. And I was sitting here jotting down notes too, 'cause that's 100%. Like, I remember when I first started and, yeah, just be some days would just be so hard, and you would want to negotiate with yourself. But now, like you said, it's not even a question. It's like, I feel if I like don't do something for like more than a day, like 2 days in a row, I don't feel right. Or like if I just like some days I do, I'm like tired and I'm like, God, I don't want to friggin' go. Like, well, I could just go home and just skip it today. Then I'm like, no, I just go anyway. It's just like built in to where at the point where like I mean, you could call it an addiction. I don't know. Like, it just built into my life to the point where I'd feel bad if I don't do it, even when I am tired. And yeah, sometimes you're not feeling it, and you go in and maybe it's an AMRAP that day, and you just kind of like you cruise through it. And you're not going balls out every single day. That's fine, but at least you got in there and moved and like kept it going. You didn't just flake out and do nothing. So yeah, I don't know,
Yep,
man.
because at the end of the day, Hunter, as tired as you are, or as much as you don't want to hit that workout, what's going to be harder is the feeling that you have from knowing that you didn't go do that when you were totally capable of doing it. You were 1,000% capable of doing it. Now you have to lay your head down at night and be like, "You pussed out so hard, dude." You know
And
what I
same
mean?
goes
That's
with
worse to
food.
me.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Same goes with food. Like in the beginning, I remember having all these cravings and stuff. But then like once you like get away from tons of sugar and like greasy, fatty stuff, it gets to a point where like now like my kids, sometimes we gotta hit the drive-thru on a road trip or something to go to McDonald's. So I will not eat it because like I'm at the point now where it's not that I like, oh, I can't eat that. I
You're
feel
gonna feel like shit.
gross. Yeah, I feel gross if I eat it. Like they're not, yeah. Anyway, so it's like once you build it in enough, like it will get easier. But you at the beginning, you have to just like fake it till you make it, like force yourself to do it for a while, and then it will get easier. It's wild.
It's at the same time too, it's I don't know if I get this, but I can see where it might come off as if I get on a podcast like we are now and we're talking about this stuff, or if I post a story or a message on a picture or something on my page, I'm not sure if I get this or not, but I can see where people could potentially think this. Oh, dude, easy for you to say, right? Like you essentially get paid to work out every day. Yeah, you're right, I do. I pretty much do. You're right. Oh, it's easy for you to say, guy, you don't have any kids. You're right. But I'm about to. And I can't wait. Like it's one of those things where there's a million reasons why I'm excited to be a dad, but one of the small reasons is like, okay, let me show you now, because now I'm a dad. Now I have a newborn, and let's see if I get fat. Let's see if I don't, do what I say I'm gonna do. We'll see. I'll be the dad that is sitting by the darn crib doing burpees at 3 in the morning. You watch. I'll document it all. So we'll see. But I don't know, stuff like that, like just kind of makes me laugh because I've just been doing this a really long time, man. And that's what it is.
It'll definitely be an adjustment when you have a kid, but
Oh,
like you said,
1,000%.
yeah, but it's still like you said, it's so built into your life. Like you're gonna find a way to make it work. Like whether that's, like I said, like for me, like, when we got a lot of stuff to do and I have a ton of editing and like because I do travel quite a bit. Certain parts of the year when I'm home, I try to like really be as helpful and as present as possible. So, but if I got to squeeze in an extra hour of editing, like I said, I'll wake up at 4:35 and edit for an hour and a half before the kids wake up because it's in there, it's
It's important to you.
yeah, for sure, man.
You care.
So let's see. Okay. Here's one. You talked about so you coach a lot of guys and that's you're pouring out a lot and you have to physically, mentally, spiritually replenish yourself and stuff like that. And I found tons of similarities between like spiritual growth and physical fitness and stuff like that. And you said that your faith has kind of been more important to you as of late. Like, what is your how do you approach your relationship to God, growing your spiritual connection, however you look at it? Like, do you have a practice there?
I've been talking to my wife a lot more about it. My wife's faith is definitely stronger than mine. It's always been a part of her life. It ne hasn't necessarily been a part of my life. So, like, I wouldn't say that, like, yeah, like every morning I drop down to my knees and I pray, because I don't. Like, I just don't. Is that something that I maybe want to start incorporating? Yeah. Another thing that I've been speaking about with my wife is journaling. I think that that would really, really benefit me. But really just talking to my wife about these things, it's like, man, look at all these blessings I'm receiving. Good on me for listening to them, giving the credit where the credit is due. This has nothing to do with me, man. And I'm realizing that. I'm just doing the work. I'm receiving all these blessings, and I'm accrediting that to putting others before myself. And the more that
Sure.
I'm doing that, Hunter, the more my bank account grows, the more blessings I receive in return. I don't care how much money I make. Do I look at it? Yeah, I'm a numbers guy. I used to play baseball. We all love numbers. Like, I know how much money I made last month, but I don't pay attention to that. I feed into each and every guy that I coach. And then with that, money comes, and that's fantastic.
Cool, man.
So I don't really have an exact practice to kind of touch on with you, but just me opening up and talking about my faith on like a more podcasts and speaking about it with the person that matters most in my life, which is my wife, makes me feel good. Like, that's progression for me.
For sure. I would encourage you. You're a routine guy, and you were talking about building in practices into your life. I would encourage you to try to, because after I do those things you mentioned, urinate, coffee, sometimes before the other one, but I do, and this has gone through ebbs and flows. Sometimes it's been really long, powerful, deep time. Sometimes it's like flip it open, like half asleep, just 5 minutes and go to my next thing. But I have incorporated some type of first thing in the morning. Like I said, sometimes it's very minimal, sometimes it's awesome, but a prayer time, even if it's 30 seconds, acknowledging God. Sometimes just read one chapter of the Bible, and just something, even if it's 5 minutes, and then it will grow and progress. And I think, just like, the what is it, progressive overload in fitness, it's the same principle applies with your spiritual growth, bro. If like you can start with just a little, and just like kind of, you'll see actual growth, man. So I would encourage you to try to build in some kind of, even to start with 5 minutes, some kind of practice, and make that part of your routine as well. That's just like the same thing. Like, I don't really feel like doing it, but I'm just gonna do it after my coffee. Boom, read a chapter of the Bible, say the Lord's Prayer, move on to the next thing, you know?
No, that's great. I appreciate you encouraging me to do that, because I have been, especially over the past couple of weeks too, I've been talking to my wife quite a bit about it, and she's, we brought up journaling and some other things. So it's definitely something that I'm going to start incorporating. I don't know exactly what it looks like at the moment in time of recording this,
Sure.
but it is coming very, very quickly, because I'm extremely serious about it.
Cool, man. Well, yeah, talk to me a little bit about getting into hunting. Like you said, I know you were a tree stand whitetail guy just like me. It was a backcountry DIY, public land trip that changed my life and is the reason I'm sitting here on a podcast talking to you right now. So talk to me about your transition into Western hunting and stuff like that, because I know you've done some hunts with my buddy Kobe, and I've seen you, I think you had some success this year. So yeah, what's that been like?
So I've been an athlete like my whole life, played high school sports, college sports, but that comes to an end, right? Like, I didn't make it to the bigs. Not a lot of people do. I wasn't one of those guys. I wanted to, but that didn't work out for me. And like we
Your
touched
sport
on
was
earlier, man,
baseball.
I loved baseball. Anyways, I've always taken really good care of myself, and it's fun to train for something, man. Like,
Yeah.
that's why I got into running ultras. I was never a runner, but it was a reason for me to, like, it was a goal to work towards. And I loved that. I loved working towards something. I wasn't playing against a certain team anymore. We didn't have a tournament coming up this weekend. All that was gone. I did that, right? That was great. But I still needed something. That's why I did the ultra thing, and then realized that, okay, I love hunting, man, but like, I'm not really not utilizing my fitness to go walk a quarter of a mile, climb up three sticks, sit down for 4 hours and then walk back to the truck. In my opinion, anybody can do that. But I loved hunting, and I knew about the Western thing. I knew about the backpacks and the hiking and elevation, and you can't just go hunt elk for a day, at least not where I live. It's a trip, dude. It's an adventure. And I loved that, and I wanted to experience that. So that's why I train hunters, so we can train to go hunt. And that's kind of where it all came together. It's like, dude, you, in my opinion, I don't know if it's required to be in good shape to Western hunt, but dude, I promise you it's not going to hurt your chances. Like,
Oh, for
I
sure.
can't imagine coming out here and going on a 7-day elk hunt and not being just absolutely dialed
Oh, it'd be
physically.
miserable. It'd be miserable.
Miserable, dude. Miserable. So the first year I came out here, I wasn't really considered a resident. I went out with a friend at the time, and dude, I got a backpack. It weighs 40, 50 pounds. I don't even have a tag in my pocket, but we're going up and down these hills and we're trying to beat them to a spot, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, this is so much fun. I was like, dude, if I can run a 50-mile ultra, I know I can come out here and hike. This is great. So for me to be able to utilize my fitness and train for something that I have such a big passion for already, of course, it's not the baseball game or it's not the tournament like we touched on, but this is my tournament now. This is this is my season, and I get to train for it every single year. And that's really why, I wanted to come out here. It's because it's just a great opportunity for selfishly to train for something and compete, you know?
Hundred
I love
percent.
it.
Yeah, I think similar to me. Like, and that's one reason I love Western hunting so much too, is because having that carrot, like carrot versus stick thing of like something to work towards, as opposed to the stick of like, oh, I'm gonna die of a heart attack, I'm gonna be fat, I'm gonna get diabetes or whatever. Like, fear-based motivation lasts about a day, if that. Like, it doesn't last long, but like, if you have that goal, I'm gonna do that hunt. Because for me, it was that first trip to Alaska, and the guy who invited me out was former Navy Special Warfare, super fit dude, and I had started getting in shape, but I wasn't really where I needed to be. And I started like looking at like what we're gonna have to actually do, and I was like, holy crap, dude. So, and that was it, man. That's what like set me off on another level. And having, like I said, that positive thing to shoot for is like so big. And that's that's why I don't coach, obviously, but like especially more so in the beginning when I started the podcast, I had a more of a fitness focus to it, I think, because I was just coming out of that. But a lot of people would ask me what the most important things, and that was one of the most important things I always said, was like, have something you're training for, whether it's a race, a hunt, I don't know, whatever you want to do, something to like have that thing to shoot for is huge. And yeah, man, like you said, just the adventure aspect, and just it's just completely immersive, and there's just nothing quite like it, man.
I think you owe it to the species that you're hunting too, man. Like, they're always at their best. Shit, I want to be my best too. I don't want to go out there and half-ass it. No, I want to train hard. I want to shoot my bow on the daily. I want to make sure my rifle's dialed. I want all my gear to be squared away. I want to make sure I got a good hunting partner that thinks the way that I think, and not scared to work and not scared to hike and not scared to be a little bit thirsty or a little bit hungry at the end of the day. You owe it to whatever it is. I mean, I'm looking at, your background. You got tons of animals behind you. You don't kill half those if you're a slob, and that just is what it is. Like, that just simply is what it is. Is it required? Not necessarily, but it's, in my opinion, not going to hurt your chances by 1%.
For sure. And the other thing people don't talk about as much is, I think I heard one of the founders of CrossFit say, like, the biggest adaptation that happens at CrossFit is between the ears. And like,
1,000%.
even me, like, I'm in the best shape of my life. Still, like, a lot of times when you're hiking, it sucks. Like, I'm just being honest. But it would suck so much worse. But the thing is, or like, even I'm doing a long run, and that's why I do. I do like the CrossFit stuff, but I actually mix in like long runs too, because that's such a huge part of it. is the mental thing, is like looking at a mountain, especially coming from Flatland where I'm from, looking at a mountain and being like, yeah, we're gonna cross that and we're just gonna take it as it comes, one step at a time, and being in that moment when you wanna quit and you just can't, or if you wanna fill that tag, you cannot quit. Or it's a pack out or whatever. And that's one of the things that people don't talk about as much, but like you learn in the gym and learn over weeks and months and years of consistency, which results in a healthy lifestyle and physique, is that mental toughness of just like being like, it's another cliche, but being comfortable being uncomfortable, just or just being used to being in a position where you don't feel good and it sucks, but you just keep going.
Yeah, and I think people might perceive it in a way where it's like, oh, it's easy for you or whatever. This is your job. Dude, if you think that I wanted to get up at 5 this morning and go to the gym, you are batshit crazy. I never want to go. I never want to go. If you think that I wanted to do death by assault bike yesterday, you're crazy. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Half the time when I'm out hunting, I don't want to climb that next ridge. No, but I want to kill it. But I want to kill an ant. I want to kill an elk. I want to go kill that mule deer. So it's worth it. It's always worth it, dude. If this shit was easy, everybody'd be doing it. It's not. That's the fun thing about it. You have to work for it.
For
Anything. If you
sure.
want to look good, you got to work for it. If you want a good marriage, you got to work for it. If you want to kill an elk, you ain't gonna shoot one off the side of the road. At least, and I don't know where you're doing that at, but not around where I live.
Yeah, and I mean that's, those moments where it sucks in the moment, when you look at the whole hunt, the whole adventure, the whole experience, like probably honestly 90% of that hunt, if you were to take it as just that individual moment on its own, probably like 90% of the hunt, quote unquote, sucks. Like the hiking, some guys probably enjoy it. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I don't love hiking
I
under
don't.
load up hills. No, I mean, nobody loves, I don't think anybody actually, I mean, maybe some people do. I don't love it. I don't love waking up freezing ass cold in a tent. Like, I don't love eating freeze-dried food, but like I can't wait to get back out there and do all that stuff again, 'cause you take the whole experience, it's just rewarding and just something like that we were created as humans to do, as far as I see it. And we spend so much of our lives sitting on our butts in air conditioning and, eating way more rich, calorie dense food than we're ever meant to eat. It's like you have to seek these wild experiences to almost balance yourself out. At least I do.
Yeah, and then that night you kill something. Well, dude, welcome to the game. Now this shit really starts, right? You do, let's say you're on a 7-day hunt. When the moment comes to fruition, that's 5 minutes of fun, in my opinion. Like, yo, you just punched your tag. That was fun. Similar to police work, dude. You get in a 5-minute car chase, or you run somebody down, or you tase somebody. That was fun. Well, guess what? Now you're doing 4 to 5 hours worth of paperwork, bro. That's not fun. So, I mean, it's give and take, right? It's like anything, but.
For sure. I think that's one of the main reasons why I've decided like I am a deer guy, is because elk are just too much dang work.
Dude, can you say that again one more time for the
They're
people in the back? Because
too much
I am
work.
slowly going that route as well.
It's
I love
just.
elk. I love how they taste. I love hunting them, but dude, I hate solo elk hunting. I've never
It's
had to pack a
miserable.
bowl out by myself, but I really won't go unless I'm rolling with somebody because that shit is brutal.
Oh, you can't, dude. It's like it's a team effort, dude. Like, you almost have to bring like for me, I'm lucky I got a cameraman, but then like even then, like I need to like have someone else. Like on this elk hunt behind me that I did with Kobe, I brought my cousin, no tag, just to like hang out and help us carry meat after. And luckily that pack out wasn't too bad, but I heard you and Kobe like later that year had a hellacious one.
No, that'll scar me for life, dude.
And
Yeah,
Kobe
that'll
can put
scar
on
me.
miles, dude.
Kobe's a mountain goat.
He is, dude. It's crazy
Yeah,
the
he
guys
doesn't
that
play.
grew up in that stuff. Like,
I talk about it all the time, dog. I
yeah,
know exactly where you're going.
it's wild, dude. Like, probably, no offense, Kobe. Probably I could crush Kobe in a CrossFit workout, even though he's like 10 years younger than me. But he could still like probably hike my ass into the grave. It's wild.
Dude, Kobe saw a really dark side of me that not a lot of people have ever seen during that pack out, dude. Like, you want to talk about just going through it,
Yeah.
bro. And Kobe's like, no, man, come on, come on. It's like, dude, this is supposed to be my role. I'm the coach here. Like, I'm the mental guy, right? Like,
Yeah.
he's like, no, dude, we gotta go. I was like, bro, we can camp here, dude. Like, he's like, Tyler, we will freeze to death.
Oh
I'm
my
like, no,
gosh, it
dude,
was
we'll
that
do it. We'll
bad.
do a, dude. When I met him at the trailhead, it was 0 degree.
Jeez. But I mean, like, it was to the point where it's like, we have to keep moving or we might die.
Yeah, he's like, you can drop your pack and we can come get it tomorrow, but like, we have to get off this front.
Oh man.
Yeah, and
That's the thing people
he
don't
saw a
realize, like
bad part of me.
stuff gets real, man. Like you
So
can get
real.
yourself like so many people focus so hard on like gotta get in 10 miles and get the elk down. They don't even think about, okay, what now? Like you can get yourself in a situation where it's like you're on your own. Like there's no one coming to help you. Like, you know, we were on a hunt this year in Alaska and the last day, there was a bull about 2.5 miles away, and we were already 6 miles in. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but I'm talking about tundra to your knees, bro. Like the equivalent of like 15 miles. 5 miles is like 15, in my opinion, mentally and physically, because you're having to literally place every footstep, or you will break your ankle. And it's just to the point, it's like, yeah, we could probably go kill that bull right now, but we're no, like we won't get out of here, and we had to, you know, get home and catch flights and stuff. But yeah, I mean, so I like deer. It sucks, but it is humanly possible to pack out a whole deer. Elk, like, no, it's not possible.
Dude, it took us 5.5 hours to go 1.5 miles on the way out.
Gosh, dude.
Think about that, dude. I mean, like, just every inch you have to fight for. And
Yeah.
we had two bowls, man. It was just brutal.
God,
Just absolutely
why'd you do
brutal.
that?
That's totally my fault. I had no idea. I didn't have any
Oh,
perspective.
okay. You didn't know what you're getting yourself into?
Kobe knew it. Kobe knew exactly what we were doing.
How many trips did it take?
Only two. We had some help from our buddy Travis on the next day, but and we were only like 4 or 5 miles in,
Yeah.
but we had these two bulls bedded, and I shot mine, and I was like yelling at Kobe because the other bull stood up. I was like, "Shoot him, shoot him!" And Kobe's like, "Fine," and he was pumped for maybe 10 seconds.
And
He's
then
like,
realized.
"Dude," he's like, "Dude, we are," and I'm like, "What are you talking about, man? We'll be fine." He's like, "Tyler, you don't know what we just did." He's like, "We are screwed."
Yeah, no, that's a big thing for especially guys like us that didn't grow up elk hunting. Like
I had
people
no idea,
don't,
bro.
yeah, people don't realize. Like it's I just did a hunt this year. We were way back on horseback. I shot a bull. We already had one bull down. My friend, local guy from Wyoming, you know, he had a bull in his crosshairs and he's like, it's just not worth it, man. Like we have to get out of here. And even with horses, he's like, it's just no. And then, you know, he shot a bull the next day from like 1 mile from our base camp and it was great. But, yeah, people don't realize like what that's like, man. So, but anyway, maybe you can tell me more about that story another time, but I know we're coming up on time here and you got stuff to do. So, but I do want to ask you real quick from a high level. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this because, you know, your Instagram says making hunters into athletes. So, from a high level, how do you do
Shit, consistency,
that?
man. Work. That's really all it comes down to. Like, at one point in time, we all used to be athletes, whether you were a good athlete or a bad athlete. I think hunting, it's not only a passion of a lot of ours, but it's our new sport, man. It's our new tournament. It's our new event. So why not be an athlete out there? You know, you don't have to be an athlete to go sit in a tree stand. You don't. But if you're gonna come out here, I think a level of athleticism is important, and that comes from showing up day after day, doing things that you don't want to do, trying to do them with a smile, and just get through it. but make sure you show up the next day and do it again. That's the biggest thing, man, is anybody can work out for a week. Anybody
Yeah.
can train and eat good for 2, 3 months. Can you do this shit 6 months? Can you do this shit for a year? Can you do this when my time and when our time together is over with? When we've
Yeah.
coached you and you've lost that weight or we've gotten you that six pack or wherever it is that you want to be. Can you do that without me? That's
Yeah.
what I want. If I have to coach you for more than a year, bro, I'm not doing my job right.
Yeah.
Because you should have every tool in your toolbox. So I think it's important to be an athlete out west because you owe it to not only yourself, but you owe it to your family, dude. Like if you were in better shape, you might kill faster. Period. Get
Yeah.
back to your wife and your kids. You don't need 10 days. Go get it done in 4. You know, if you're in shape, you can do things like that. So just
It just
honest work, dude.
as a nation, dude, like we just need to be better. Like
Gotta
there's
be.
just too many friggin' fat dude. Like I see and you know, I'm not judging. I used to be one, you know, but like at the same time it's like I just see so many guys in the prime of their life just with like tits, and I'm like, dude, come on, get your shit together. Like, you're only gonna be young once. Like, we gotta be better than this, like, as a country, as a nation. Like, it's just sad, and we just gotta be better, man. So, I really respect the work you're doing. Keep up the good work, man. Do you do like training programs that are kind of specifically tailored to help guys perform better in the mountains?
Yeah, everybody's different. So depending on what your goal is how I build your program. So like I can't take Hunter McWaters' program and copy and paste it into Joe
Right.
Smo because you're trying to achieve something totally different, right? So yeah, depending on what it is that you're trying to do or what it is that you're looking to train for, or maybe it's even just weight loss. I'll work with guys that don't even hunt. Not a
Yeah.
lot of them. Not a lot of them. Probably only 10% of the guys that I work with don't hunt, but they got goals, right? They want to look good, feel good. Be better for their wives and their children. So, and before we get off, man, you said something earlier that I loved. You said you're in the best shape of your life. How old are you?
I'll be 38 in March.
You're 38 years old and you're in the best shape of your life.
Yeah, by far.
Everybody deserves that. It's going to take work, but everybody deserves to be able to say that. Especially when they're in their 30s or their 40s. Dude, I've
Yeah.
been saying that. I've been saying this since long time. Every day I wake up, I'm in the best shape of my life. That feels so good.
Yeah.
You deserve that, man. You get one crack at this thing, bro.
Yeah.
One crack. Why not be proud of yourself when you hop out the shower and you're drying off? Why
For sure.
not? Your wife ain't gonna be mad at you. I promise that. These dad bods and all this shit, that's not popular. That's
Yeah.
not in.
It's not cool.
It's not. She's telling you that because she don't want to hurt your feelings.
Right.
Your wife wishes you had abs. I promise she does. You wish you secretly had abs. You're
Yeah.
just not
And
doing it. So why is that?
people, because I got here too, I was embarrassed to take my shirt off in front of my own wife. And people get, you know, that thing where it's like, you know, they deep down they want to be in shape. Because I'm talking about myself. I was like this. Like, I wanted to be fit and be in shape, but I wasn't. And it seemed like an insurmountable mountain. So, like, people have this thing where they'll like incorporate that into their identity. Like, oh, I hate the gym. Oh, I'll just, you know, like, is a defense mechanism, like make a joke of like they're cool with being fat and lazy and out of shape. Deep down, like you're not. Like, don't joke yourself. Like, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. Second best time is now. Start, do something, like salvage yourself. Because I was saying to somebody the other day, like my 38 year self, 38-year-old self could kick my 25-year-old self's ass, and like I feel like I haven't aged because like as my age has gone up, my fitness has gone up. So it's like I like reverse aged, so like I like stayed the same. So I still feel like I'm like 27. Even my like Garmin says my fitness age is 27, I think. So it's
Yeah,
like,
mine says 26. That's six.
yeah,
That's so cool to see. I don't know
like
how
you can
accurate it
do
is,
it.
but it's dope.
Yeah, it is
And
cool.
you
How old are
said
you?
I just turned 31.
Okay, cool. So yeah,
Yeah,
man,
and
you can
it's
do it, dude. Like
you can.
just
'Cause I
gotta
hate going to
start.
the gym too. I hate going to the gym. You want to know
Yeah.
about what my favorite part about the gym is?
Leaving the drive home.
Walking past the front desk and saying, "You have a good day."
Yep.
When I'm leaving that thing, that's my favorite part.
Me too, man.
Cool, man. I
I
got it
don't
in. We're done today.
yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's my favorite
Exactly.
part, dude. Yeah.
And I feel good about myself, man.
Right. Yeah, you feel good about yourself. So guys, if you're listening, hit up Tyler. I don't know how many more clients he can fit in, but hopefully he's got some room. If he's doing his job, he'll be graduating some people, apparently. So maybe he can slit you in, or if not, I'm happy to answer questions. I'm not a coach, but I can answer your questions or whatever it is. Join a gym, freaking get on Mountain Tough, whatever it is. Like, do something because, like, you owe it to yourself, your family, your country, as lofty as that sounds, but it's true. It's disgraceful how many fat people are in our country. Yeah, do it, guys. So, Tyler, where can people find you?
IG primarily, dude, just at Knock Performance, and then my website is just knockperformance.com, and message, email, any of that stuff is good. I do my best to, I'm not Hunter McWaters level famous yet, so I make sure I can have time to respond to everybody. So
Hey,
we're working towards it though.
I respond to people too, and I'm not famous. Yeah, dude, it's been good chatting with you, buddy.
I appreciate you having me on, man. Thanks for the voice.
Yeah, man. Good talking to you.
Always.